Your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now, but something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Well, hey there, and welcome back, Driven Woman. Today is episode 101, and that means it is the last in the Boundaries series. Now, if you have not been listening to all of the episodes in the Boundaries series, I'm going to do a quick little recap for you to let you know everything that I included in case you want to go back and binge listen through the others. We started with episode number 95. Creating consistent client outcomes. That was all about the fact that if you are literally customizing everything you do for every single person you work with, you cannot possibly create consistent client outcomes. Some will be great, some will be mediocre, and some of them you really won't know. So it's all about systematizing your framework and your processes so that you can get the right clients in and know that they're going to be happy at the other end. And so will you. 2 weeks later, we had episode number 97, which was called Obligation Management. And that is all about the fact that all of us as female solopreneurs have other obligations. It's for children, it's a romantic partner, it's kids, it's aging parents. Heck, you might just have a lot of plants that need love and attention. But whatever it is, your business is rarely the only thing that you feel obligated to. We also go in episode number 97 into obligations that you feel towards contractors that you work with, people who work with you regularly as a member of a team, obligations that you feel towards clients, and all that jazz. And then episode number 99 was how to create a distraction-free business. And when I first named it that, a few people said, come on, who are you kidding? There's no such thing. But if you look at distractions the way I do, you absolutely can create a distraction-free business where you feel so much more in control of your time, your energy, and your focus than you would otherwise. So today, we're going to talk about boundaries as self-care. Now, self-care seems to be a real hot topic right now, and so does boundaries. And I don't think that's surprising when you consider what all of us globally have been living with and going through for well over 2 years now. It's been really interesting in retrospect to look back and see that 3 years ago, we were all listening to messages about how to get more done, how to be more productive, and how to hustle. Now, we're hearing the opposite. We're hearing a lot of people talking about toxic productivity, the hustle culture, bro marketing, and there's a lot of shade that's being thrown on the celebrity coaches, consultants, and gurus of just a few years ago, because the advice that we were all lapping up like puppies now seems really quite tone deaf. And those of us who attempted to be everything to everyone all the time, now at this stage of recovering from everything that we have been through as mankind, man and womankind, it just isn't landing so well anymore. And I think that's a good thing. When we first started learning about COVID, everybody went into a state of panic and fear and self-preservation. But at least a year ago, I started thinking, you know, even once the fear of being infected and losing loved ones starts to die down, the next wave is going to be mental health. Because everything that we've all been through, whether we've lost loved ones, lost jobs, lost opportunities, lost revenue, we've all experienced losses. At the very least, we have all experienced the loss of idealism and a sense of security that life as we know it is going to continue. Many people feel quite jaded, feel quite cynical, and not nearly as optimistic as they used to. So today's episode is not going to be a big old downer, but what it is going to be about is if you have made the decision to be self-employed by whatever means, you lost your job or you gave your boss the middle finger and decided to go out on your own, however it is that you became a solopreneur, a coach, a consultant, an agency owner, a small business owner, you are by default your boss. You're also your human resources department. When we were employees, however high up the food chain we climbed, we had other people taking responsibility for telling us that we needed to take care of ourselves away from the workplace. Now, for many years, I worked in companies where 2 weeks off paid vacation per year was the standard. Then I met and married the German who scoffed at that and said, even the lowest level worker in Germany gets 6 weeks off with pay. That's when my mind really started to evolve on all the concepts related to self-care. I was accustomed to 2 weeks off a year, and there were many years that I didn't take them, and I was proud of the fact that I didn't take them. I typically had 10 paid days off in addition to those vacation days. Those were meant for sick days, if your child was sick, if you decided you wanted to take your birthday off, or you needed to go travel to see a sick relative. Basically, you were told you're allowed to be sick or, you know, not able to work 10 times in a working year, and you are eligible to receive 2 weeks of paid time off. And that was the norm. Now, that set expectations for me that when I went into my own business, I thought, well, I'll take it if I need it. And you have so many things to learn when you're starting a new business that you don't really realize, or at least I should say, I didn't really realize that time off, self-care, pacing myself, I needed to think about those things from the beginning. And I didn't. I'm in my second business now. In my first business, it took a while, but I did eventually burn out. Because I didn't do the things that I'm going to talk about in this episode, and I do them much more faithfully and consistently now. But if you have grown up in the corporate work culture or in the academia, world of academia, or in the nonprofit world, which pretty much covers most of us, I would say, then you have grown up and been indoctrinated into ways of thinking about work and non-work that are probably problematic for you now as a solopreneur. For example, most of us aren't really thinking when we go into business for ourselves at pricing ourselves in such a way that we are not only competitive in terms of whatever the market rate is for whatever goods or services we provide, but making sure we price them, taking taxes into consideration, taking retirement into consideration, and taking paid time off into consideration. Now, if your head is kind of exploding a little bit right now, or you may be feeling a little bit like throwing up in your mouth, I get it, because I didn't do that either. I was solely focused in the beginning with my first business on charging a low enough price that I could entice people to work with me instead of someone else, assuming that the only thing I had to compete on was price. And the only way to be competitive was to have a lower price. Now, I've been self-employed for 12 years. If I was starting over today with everything I've learned, everything, but most certainly about self-care, I would have gone a completely different route. So let's talk about self-care. It really starts with self-awareness and self-acceptance. What does self-acceptance have to do with it? We have to decide for ourselves that it is okay it is acceptable for us to not work all the time when we're self-employed. What's typical is we start our own business full of enthusiasm, full of energy, full of all kinds of dreams for how great it's going to be not to have to answer to a boss anymore. And that means we literally are setting ourselves up to have a business without boundaries. Because, and I am no fan of bosses, by the way. I was never really good about reporting to a boss or feeling that I needed a boss to tell me what to do. A lot of bosses thought I was much too independent, and I understand why now. But a boss will also tell you sometimes when you're doing too much, when you're overdoing it, when you are going about something with such fervor that you couldn't possibly sustain it. And oftentimes we go into our own business in the same way. So if you are at the very beginning of starting a business, I hope this lands on your ears in a positive way. There's nothing wrong with being enthusiastic about doing your own thing. You should be enthusiastic. You should be passionate. Those are fuels. Passion and enthusiasm are fuels that will turbocharge you into going forward each and every day. Because when you're first getting started, the antithesis of that is self-doubt and confusion. So the passion and the excitement, the enthusiasm, the optimism, the energy, the drive, the motivation, the inspiration, all of that, we do not want to curb our enthusiasm in any way, shape, or form. However, that doesn't mean you don't want to set some kind of limits in place from the beginning for the purpose of self-care. You know, years ago, when I was a licensed clinical social worker, a social work supervisor, a program director, an administrator, and a professor, I oftentimes would be the person who would interview graduate students coming in to do their field training in the agency that I was working in at the time. And one of the first questions I would ask these young students was, how long do you plan to be in this career path? Well, they weren't even in it yet. They were just barely finishing their first year of graduate school, didn't really feel like they knew at all what they were doing yet, and hoping to gain a little bit of confidence by getting supervised hours under me or someone like me in my agency. So when I would ask a question like that, they really didn't know where I was coming from. But the point was this: if you want this to be your career for a long time to come, and in the case of a solopreneur, if you want this business to be what you do for the next 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, if you want to build something to sell, if you want to build something just to prove to yourself that you like being an entrepreneur and you have what it takes, and then you'll evolve it to something else, you'll pivot, you'll rebrand, or you'll just let it go and start over. But you have to be able to pace yourself, because if you don't, you will most certainly burn out. You'll run out of fuel. You'll take on too much. You'll be short-sighted. You won't give enough time, energy, priority, or preference to the most profitable opportunities. You'll scatter your seeds, if you will, and then you won't really know what you're capable of or what the business is capable of. So self-care as a priority from the very beginning, if you are anywhere near the beginning, if you are in the first, second, third year of your business, it is not too late. And as a matter of fact, because I am the eternal optimist, even if you're at the 10-year mark, it's harder to make changes that far in, but you most certainly can. And you do not need to wait for burnout to be your wake-up call that boundaries and self-care need to be a priority. So you are the HR department. If you are the founder, the owner, the CEO, the solopreneur, the one-woman shop, you need to be the human resources department. So think of it this way. If you were going to hire yourself as the CEO for your one-person company or your small team, would you hire yourself and present the job with no benefits, no time off, no sick pay? Would you present the job to yourself with the expectation that you will work the better part of every day, 7 days a week, except maybe a holiday or two off? No, it sounds ridiculous. And yet, when we don't establish any kind of boundaries, whether early on or as soon as we realize it's necessary because we don't have them, that's exactly what we're setting ourselves up for. In fact, I've been working with female solopreneurs for the last several years. Very few of them had an established policy or had even really intentionally considered how much vacation time they needed to be able to work at the level that they need to work for the level of success, the level of revenue, the level of profit, the size of the team. How much time off do you need each year? I was always flying by the seat of my pants. I was always winging it and just letting my passion, my drive, and my enthusiasm carry me. I really wasn't thinking that far down the road. For the first several years in business, as well as many years of my life before that, I really didn't ever consider much beyond the current week. So one of the most transformational things I started doing with my clients in the last couple of years is asking them to look at their life and business on a year-at-a-glance calendar. Absolutely transformational, because when you actually expand your awareness of your business over time, you can think ahead, okay, I think I actually do need 4 weeks of vacation per year. Okay, how would that look? Setting those times for vacation ahead of time, if you can't do a year at a time, you could probably do a quarter. So how much time off do you need for self-care, for healthy boundaries, to maintain your stamina, your drive, your enthusiasm, your motivation, your creativity, your mental health, your resiliency? How much time do you need? Do you need to take 1 week off every quarter to kind of recharge? Or are you the kind of person who has learned that a week off, that's just exfoliation? You're just scraping off the top layer, that you actually need to take 2 weeks twice a year, or even 2 weeks three times a year. And when you do that, the benefits far exceed any of the negative consequences about being away from your clients, your team, and all the rest for that period of time. Hey, it's Diane with a quick interruption to the episode because I've got a couple questions I just need to ask you. One, are you where you want to be in your business? Are you making the money you want to make, working the hours you want to work, seeing the clients that you want to see, and getting the income and impact that you went into business to get? And if the answer is no, what's holding you back? Why is there a gap between where you are and where you want to be? Do you know the answer? In my experience working with female solopreneurs, so many of them don't even really know what's standing in their way, and that is so frustrating. So I created a little quiz called What's Holding You Back? There's a link to it in the show notes. If this is you, please take the quiz. And if you do, DM me on Instagram at Coach Diane Wingert and let me know your results. Now, on the other hand, if you already know what's holding you back, if you already know what the obstacles are that are getting in your way from achieving the income and impact that you deserve and desire, then I don't want you to take the quiz. Forget about the quiz. Go directly to the other link in the show notes and book a consult with me. I may be the very coach, and this may be the year that you put all of that behind you and really have the business that you went into business to have. For everybody else, keep on listening. And if you find value in what you hear, don't forget to leave me a rating and review on Apple or wherever you're listening. Here we go, back to the show.
I adopted this phrase of, this is what we do here, instead of trying to make it Like for the longest time, I was trying to make it fit everybody's needs where you were attracted.
Yes.
So that was, I think, the struggle bus. And I don't think I was aware that I was, just because I love people. And when you have potential, I can help you get there. So I think I was allowing too much wiggle. And that's what you helped me through mostly in my memory of like figuring out that it's okay to say, no, this is what we do here. This is that stance. And that's how Beyond Common, you know, 12 Essentials for Success in Life, it finally was completed. It was just like this pieces and parts of things that we had done that worked to make us successful. But it was like through that figuring out how to connect everything. And definitely your influence helped me so much. Like it was like, you know, you're an angel.
It always requires a little bit of trial and error, you know, unless we are wizards or we have so much past experience that we know for a fact that we simply cannot work X number of days a week indefinitely. We need to pace ourselves and take time off regularly. I do know some female entrepreneurs who never work Fridays, for example. They have young kids, so they are not going on vacations. Too expensive, too time consuming, really not all that fun when you have littles. So instead of taking 2 or 4 weeks of time off each year as a vacation, they don't work Mondays, or they don't work Fridays, or they map out their kids' schedule for the entire year when the kids' time off from school is, when Easter break is, when summer vacation is, and every single school holiday, and they mark off those days on their work calendar in advance, so that they know ahead of time not to expect anything of them then. This trickles down to your team as well. How many days a week do you expect your team members to work? Do you expect them to work more days a week than you do? What if they're okay with that? You need to be okay with it. I had a client last year who hired a team and they all worked 2 to 3 to 4 days a week. But when she didn't work 5 days a week, she felt guilty because she thought her team would see her as less of a leader. So there's so much that goes into these equations. There's no one blanket rule. I wish I could just say, if you want to have healthy boundaries as a business owner, if you want to use boundaries as acts of self-care, just do this. I can't do that. I couldn't possibly know what's best for you, for your stage of life, for your stage of family, for whatever else you've got going on. But there are a couple of things that I can suggest as things for you to consider in how you want to take better care of yourself through boundaries. For example, vacation time. We've been talking about that. Nobody says you have to take vacations, including me. As a matter of fact, but there is considerable evidence that people who never take vacations for years at a time are generally less healthy mentally and physically than those who do. But what amount of time do you need? What amount of time do you need at the same time? Some people can take 3-day weekends all year and they're golden. Other people don't even begin to benefit from time away from their business until the middle of the second or third week. It's entirely up to you. But do you give yourself days off? Do you give yourself paid holidays? Do you give your team members paid holidays? Do you schedule time for networking, for conferences? These are things we generally don't think about in advance. And that's what this entire episode is about. Instead of just launching ourselves into businesses or continuing to run businesses the way that we have simply because that's what we've already got going, we can always stop and say, do I feel cared for as a part of this business? If we feel resentful, if we feel exhausted, if we feel depleted, depressed, chances are there are boundary issues related to our self-care that we need to address. What are your work hours? I have spoken on a previous episode about this. At this stage of my life, I tend to go to bed earlier than I used to, and I naturally wake up earlier than I used to. My team is in the Philippines, and there is between a 15 and a 16 hour time difference, depending on where we are with the whole daylight savings thing. So it works out really nice that my early morning is their late evening, so I can go through the tasks that they have ready for me to review first thing in the morning when I get up. Now, I'm not prepared to talk to clients that early in the morning. That has to be after I've exercised, eaten, showered, and made some attempt to look presentable. But that's something within my control too. That is an act of self-care. I don't make myself available for something when I don't feel ready to do my best at it. Another area that I see is, what is your communication style, your communication preference? Some people just know that they need to see things in writing, but yet their clients prefer voice memos, or their team prefers Asana or Voxer or Airtable. So what you actually need in terms of your communication style, your communication preference, you know, do you get the message when you hear it, or do you need to read it? And as the business owner, it's perfectly acceptable for you to state, this is what I need, even if it's not the preference of the people that work with you or choose to hire you as a coach or consultant. But if we're not aware of these things and we do not accept that this is what we need, we're going to get in trouble. Lots of times people, what I see with my clients, they usually are not lacking in self-awareness, but they haven't necessarily asked themselves the question, what is the best time for me to start my workday? What is the best time for me to start my client interactions? Am I better in the morning? Am I better in the afternoon? Can I do client-facing work 2 days in a row, 3 days in a row, 4 days in a row? Some people see clients Tuesdays, Mondays and Tuesdays, and Thursdays. They don't see clients on Wednesdays or Fridays. They give themselves that break. I've had people try to convince me, yes, but I'll never be able to have a full client calendar if I restrict my access that way. You know what? I can't prove that that's not true, but I think if you haven't at least experimented with it, you haven't proven that it is true. I think oftentimes we're just afraid that if we set any kind of limit or boundary, that the other person, the potential client, the potential team member, the current client, is going to take their business elsewhere. And that scarcity mentality keeps us stuck in a situation where we are not taking care of ourselves through boundaries. Most of the time, even though people have gotten accustomed to things the way they are, when we say, I need to change the situation, they will be as accommodating as their circumstances could possibly allow. I have never, ever lost a client because I needed to change my work hours or my availability. Something that is not known by many people, but it comes as no surprise to those of us in the entrepreneurial community, is that a very significant percentage of entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, freelancers, and gig workers have mental health challenges or chronic illness, or both. In fact, many people have gone the entrepreneurial route because of mental health challenges, the most common being anxiety, depression, ADHD. But there are plenty of folks with major depressive disorder, bipolar disorder, and more. So we absolutely need to take care of our self-care and make it a priority, because when you struggle with any kind of mental disorder, mental challenge, your margin of error is a little bit smaller. And that means you can't afford to be wrong because you may become symptomatic. Same is true of chronic illness. I have been living with chronic pain for over half my life, and it factors very heavily into the way I structure my business and how I schedule my availability, the number of clients I'm able to work with, my work hours. I could push past those limits, but I know over time, it only hurts me when I do. If you are the primary breadwinner in your family, you also owe it to yourself to exercise healthy boundaries through self-care, because literally the whole family is depending on you. Now, I know that I have shared in previous episodes how to use online schedulers, how to screen your calls, how to limit access to you in a variety of ways as a way of managing your obligations, as a way of avoiding burnout. But when you consider how many people who were talking about productivity 3 years ago are talking about burnout now, I think this message is not only timely, but possibly life-saving. There are plenty of celebrity coaches, gurus, all kinds of multimillionaires in the online space that will try to convince us if we're not doubling down and going all in, then we don't want it badly enough, and the one who does will get it and we won't. But I like to think that there's enough room for all of us to be successful doing things in our own way. I don't have to always be at the front of the pack. I don't always have to be at the top of the heap. I don't always need to be number one. I need to exercise my self-awareness and my self-acceptance, and I have to take responsibility for self-care. I am a solopreneur. I don't have a boss. There is no human resources department that will tell me I'm working too hard. I'm putting in too many hours. My relationships, my health are suffering. So it is up to me to pay attention and to make the necessary changes. So if this resonates with you, I really, really want to encourage you to spend a little quiet time with yourself and figure what are the first couple of steps, however small, that you can make to begin to restore healthier boundaries and more self-care. You deserve it. And your business and your well-being actually depend on it. So take good care of yourself, because it's actually your job. Okay, folks, that's all for now. And I will see you back next week with another amazing guest interview.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.